it's the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour on 810 WGY.
Good evening. You're listening to the Tully Rinky Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King here tonight, substituting for Matt, and our show is here each Sunday in our new time slot at 7 p.m. to give our listeners insight on the legal and political issues happening locally and across the country. So in addition to listening on your radio, we're broadcasting around the world on WGY.com. Visit our show site at TullyRinkyShow.com for podcasts of some of our past shows. Well, this week we're going to talk about an important legal services organization right here in the Capital Region known as the Legal Aid Society. And joining me is the Executive Director of the Legal Aid Society, Lillian Moy. Some of the topics we're going to discuss tonight include the purpose of the Legal Aid Society, the type of services they provide to the general public, and how they actually go about delivering those services to the public. So if you have any questions for us throughout the show, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or just press star WGY on your cell phone. Well, thank you for joining me tonight, Lillian. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much, Barbara. I'm delighted to be here.
The first thing I wanted to make sure our listeners knew, Lillian, is that, and not trying to make you sound any older than you are, but is the fact that you have been involved in some form of legal services work since 1981.
Exactly.
We're talking about going into your 28th year. Briefly, tell our listeners a little bit about your background in legal services.
Well, I went to law school, a BU law school, to become a lawyer to help people. And I was drawn, of course, to legal services work. I've been a legal services lawyer, as you said, since 1981 for 28 years, working first at the Georgia Legal Services Program and then at the Legal Assistance Corporation of Central Massachusetts. And I've been lucky enough to serve as the executive director here for the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York since February of 1995. I'm about to have my 14th anniversary.
Wonderful. And so you must enjoy it.
I do, very much.
You provided me with a lot of materials about the Legal Aid Society, and what I like about your organization is that, and most very good organizations have what they call a mission statement. It's brief. I just want to read it, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the history of the organization. But your mission statement says, the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York provides effective, free legal services, free civil legal services, and education to and advocacy for people with low income or other barriers to accessing the legal system. We secure basic needs, protect and preserve legal rights, provide equal access to justice, and seek fairness and dignity for our clients. It's quite a statement.
I'd say that says it all, right? And, you know, I think that anyone who's worked on an organizational mission statement knows that you spend a lot of time trying to touch every part of the services that you offer. And this one really does in terms of encompassing our direct representation as well as our commitment to educate low-income people so that they can make good legal decisions.
Now, one thing that jumped out is that these are free civil legal services. You don't offer any criminal representation. Is that right?
That's right. In the New York City, you'll see some legal aid agencies are both civil and criminal. But here in the Capital Region, we're entirely civil in the nature of our services.
And the only legal services that are really guaranteed to low-income people in New York State, at least, and certainly nationwide, are criminal representation. Correct.
In the civil world, we are beginning to talk about the possibility of creating what we call a civil Gideon, a defined right to counsel in certain types of civil cases. But that is still in the organizing and dream phase and not yet a reality. And I know that many people out there think that you can get a lawyer automatically if you're sued for an eviction or if you want to try to get a divorce, and that's simply not the case.
And you refer to the civil Gideon. You're talking about the Gideon lawsuit that led to the requirement that all low-income people charged with crimes are entitled to free attorney if they can't afford one.
Exactly. Gideon versus Wainwright was the case that led to that criminal right. And so we are beginning to think and hope for a time when people with civil legal problems will have the same right as those with criminal problems, the right to a free attorney.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that later because you and I were discussing your theory of access to justice. But before we do that, in reviewing your materials, and despite the years I've been working peripherally with Legal Aid, I was surprised to find out that the organization had been around since 1923. You're going into your 86th year. Well, you aren't yourself.
Enough about my years, yeah. Yes, the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York, we just last year celebrated our 85th anniversary. This year we'll be 86 years old, and we are so proud of our history. We were born right here in Albany as the Legal Aid Society of Albany and eventually expanded, and now we cover 16 counties in Northeastern New York, as I like to say, from the Catskills to Canada. And we do that through five different offices located throughout Northeastern New York.
And is there a main office, a main facility?
Our biggest office, our largest and main office, is located right here in Albany at 55 Colvin Avenue. And then we also have offices in Amsterdam, Saratoga Springs, Canton, and Plattsburgh. We have always tried to maintain locations that make it fairly easy for clients throughout Northeastern New York to access our services.
And briefly, tell our listeners how you're funded, because an organization that large, it's got to take quite a bit to run it.
It does take quite a bit to run it. We have almost a $5 million budget, and a lot of that money is public. It comes first from the federal government through the Legal Services Corporation, and, of course, lately a great deal from state government through the Interest on Lawyers Account Fund, as well as directly from the state of New York.
What I'd like you to do, because we're going to spend time going specifically into some of your programs, I found them quite interesting, is I'm going to ask you just to list for me the general areas of representation that legal aid offers.
Yeah, we consider ourselves, like your law firm, Tully Rinke, we consider ourselves a full-service law firm for low-income people. We provide legal services in housing matters. That's largely a focus on landlord-tenant matters, now more recently on foreclosure matters. We also represent victims of domestic violence in a variety of family court and related civil matters. We represent those who are too disabled to work and who are trying to qualify for Social Security disability or supplemental security income benefits from the Social Security Administration. We represent low-income children with disabilities in special education and SSI cases. We also do food stamp or nutrition outreach and education. We help clients gain attorneys for divorce matters. We have a special project for people living with HIV and AIDS and a special foreclosure prevention project. We also represent those who are homeless or who are at risk of homelessness.
So that's quite a lot, and I'm not surprised then when I read some statistics that said that in 2007, because I'm sure your 08 numbers aren't final yet, your staff, your private staff, just hired by Legal Aid, closed 6,222 cases in that year. Mm-hmm. Now, closing those cases, what does that mean?
That means the client has applied for services, has been screened for eligibility, has requested representation or advice on a legal matter, and received it from our staff. So some cases are open for a relatively short amount of time because we're able to give that advice and information almost immediately. But some cases stay open for several years because it takes that long to help the client resolve her problem.
And we had recently, a few weeks ago, Ann Erickson on from the Empire Justice Center. They don't do so much of direct delivery of legal services to people that come to them. They more coordinate and educate. Unlike that, though, your organization, the Legal Aid Society, will actually assign, if they have available, a staff attorney to a case for direct representation, right?
Yes, absolutely. We are the core and primary provider. We like to think of our services, again, as the core services that most low-income people will need.
All right. And one of the things we were talking about was, again, that theory of access to justice. Any legal aid organization or any not-for-profit legal organization is going to have some kind of a theory. Can you tell our listeners what kind of theory you operate off of?
Well, our commitment is really embodied in our mission statement about ensuring access to basic needs, protecting and preserving legal rights, and finally seeking fairness and dignity for our clients. I think that what sets legal services and legal aid apart from other very many worthy causes is the fact that access to dispute resolution, fair access to the courts, is something that's embedded in our democracy, in our culture, in this country. And that's why ensuring access to justice is so key to our survival as a democracy. And I rely on both public funding and on private support, especially on many law firms in this community, to help make that access to justice a reality.
Well, if we accept the fact that conflicts in society occur, and resolving those conflicts should be done in a civil way, we don't have duels or sword fights anymore. You really do need to be able to access the system and know how to access it. It's quite complicated.
Absolutely.
And you also have a Justice for All program. Can you talk about that?
I'd love that to talk about that. This is a model campaign where local law firms take the leadership role in ensuring funding for legal services. So, and I'm proud and pleased to announce tonight that your law firm, Tully Rinke, has recently joined the Justice for All campaign at what we call leadership level. And this year's campaign is coming to a close at the end of this month. So lawyers out there, it's not too late to step up and join the Justice for All campaign. Our co-chairs this year are Tom O'Connor from Hiscock Barkley and, of course, E. Stewart Jones from the Jones Law Firm. And we have the support of the most prominent law firms in the community, and I'm proud to say now joined by your firm, Barbara Tully Rinke.
Well, if any other firms or even individual lawyers want to join this campaign, which is basically a fund drive.
Absolutely, a fund drive.
Is there a website they can go to as well as a phone number they can call?
Right. Anyone can go to our website, www.lasnny.org, lasny.org, and click on the Justice for All campaign button, and can also make a secure online donation, or can call the office, 1-800-462-2722, and ask for me, Lillian Moy. My extension is 304. I'm glad to sign anybody up.
I'm sure you are. That website that you gave us, if somebody out there listening tonight thinks that they may need some legal services and they may qualify for them, would they be able to go to that website and not just learn more about your organization, but even perhaps ask a question or apply for services?
Well, we do have a lot of information, both legal information and a good website page about how to access our services. We have not yet gone to where we can take intake over the internet. So, but there is a telephone number and intake hours for each of our offices, and I hope that anyone listening who feels they have a legal problem, civil problem, will please call us.
All right. And very briefly, before we go into the break, you listed a variety of different legal services that you offer. In general, how do you select these particular areas of practice to provide to the public?
Well, many of these programs are created with special grant funding from the federal or state government, and so funding does drive a great deal of the work that we do. Of course, these grants exist because our legislatures have recognized them to be societal problems that lawyers can help with.
Okay. Well, we'd like to hear from you tonight. So if you have a question, just give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY or *WGY on your cell phones. And if you have questions but can't join us tonight, don't forget that we can be reached all week at the Tully Rinke offices at 518-218-7100. When we come back, we're going to talk about the specific areas of legal work that the Legal Aid Society provides.
One of the worst experiences you can go through is to be charged with a DWI. But with the experienced attorneys from Tully Rinke on your side, you can be confident that your lawyer will fiercely fight to protect your rights and get you the best possible outcome. Call Tully Rinke, 518-218-7100, or visit TullyLegal.com. Tully Rinke, PLLC, 441 New Carner Road, Albany, New York. And the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour, Sunday nights at 7 on WGY. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
You've worked hard to acquire your wealth. Let us help you keep it. Hi, I'm Abigail Doolittle, Portfolio Manager at Johnson Illington Advisors. Johnson Illington is a money management firm that provides very conservative and disciplined portfolio management services. Our main goal at Johnson Illington is to preserve and enhance your wealth. We have a highly experienced team led by nationally known investment veteran and economist Hugh Johnson. Visit our website at johnson-illington.com. Johnson Illington Advisors on Broadway in Albany.
All right, Integral One Network Solutions. Tell me what they do again.
Well, they worked with us to design our new computer network. That's really made a difference. Helps us run our business better. They monitor everything 24/7 to keep it running smoothly. And they manage it all, so I don't have to hire an IT guy.
So when I hire Integral One, they manage my network so I can manage my business. Talk about peace of mind.
Integral One Network Solutions. Online at integral1.net. That's integral1.net. 464-4014.
A traffic ticket is not a simple matter, and simply paying a traffic ticket might not be your best option. Just because you were issued a ticket doesn't mean you're guilty. The experienced attorneys at Tully Rinke have handled thousands of traffic and speeding tickets in New York. Call Tully Rinke, 518-218-7100, or visit TullyLegal.com. Tully Rinke PLLC, 441 New Carner Road, Albany, New York. And the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour, Sunday nights at 7 on WGY. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
Welcome back to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, one of Tully Rinke's family and matrimonial law attorneys. With me tonight is the executive director of the Legal Aid Society, Lillian Moy. And tonight, Lillian is talking to us about the Legal Aid Society and the services offered by her nonprofit legal organization. So if you have any questions, give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY and feel free to check us out online anytime at TullyLegal.com. Lillian, just before we went to the break, you had given our listeners a list of some of the general areas of practice. And before I ask you about some of them, let me ask you about confidentiality. If somebody calls your organization just looking for information and perhaps doesn't qualify or can't use your services, is that confidential?
Yes, it is. Any personal information given to our staff in pursuit of creating an attorney-client relationship is kept confidential. We do, our habit is to do as much screening as we can up front so that clients who are not financially eligible or perhaps don't live in our service area or are calling about a criminal problem are referred relatively quickly, and we don't even have to take any detailed demographic information on them.
So even if someone thinks that perhaps you can't help, you can be a resource for referring them somewhere else?
Yes, absolutely. We help a tremendous number of people by just giving them basic information and referral, not legal advice, sending them to the agency or other private law firm that can assist them.
And you handle a handful of counties. Let me just briefly list them. Albany, Clinton, Columbia, Essex, Franklin, Fulton, Greene, Hamilton, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady, Schoharie, St. Lawrence, Warren, or Washington.
Yes, it's a big handful. 16 counties, all of northeastern New York.
Very good. All right. I want to ask you about some specific programs that you have. One that I found very interesting was what you call the Children's Law Project. And that, as I understand it, is services for children that have perhaps special education needs.
Absolutely.
What can you do for a child who perhaps suffers from, you and I were talking before, autism? Their parents can't afford to hire an attorney to get the school to put the proper programs in place. What can you do for them?
Well, we have an attorney who's works full-time in our Children's Law Project, and this is a project that's dedicated to helping children with disabilities obtain the special education services or even the income through an SSI case that they need to live to their fullest potential. We also can help children, the families of children with disabilities in any kind of related civil matter. I was thinking, though, particularly about a parent I spoke to recently who described her son's autism as being a situation where the lower rungs of the ladder just weren't installed initially. And so her child cannot attain the upper rungs and make progress. And some of the therapy and educational services that our Children's Law Project has helped her child get is helping to install those lower rungs. Music therapy involves all of the needs this child has in terms of social needs, physical needs, sensory fulfillment, and it's very rewarding to know that the work we can do as a lawyer can really help a child experience the success that every child needs and deserves.
So it's a matter of getting the school not just to determine the right programs, but pay for the right programs.
Correct.
And what about issues of transportation or if a parent just has a disciplinary issue with their child in school, do you handle those?
We typically handle discipline matters when they are related to the child's disability. We may be able to give some advice on a straight-up school discipline issue, and we might take the exceptional case. But generally, our school discipline representation, like all of the representation in this project, is primarily for kids with disabilities.
And what are the legal lifelines that the Children's Law Project offers?
Yep, we have done these educational lifelines are available to any member of the community. So we have a legal lifeline on general school discipline issues, and then a special focus on discipline for students with disabilities. We also focus on the educational rights of homeless kids and the special education referral process. We have legal information for emancipated minors trying to qualify for welfare assistance and on basic student residency rights and 504 accommodation plans. And these lifelines are available by just visiting the Legal Aid Society office or giving us a call at one of our phone numbers in your local community or in Albany.
So this is mostly informational and not dependent on income level?
Correct.
Is there a general rule of thumb as to what the income level has to be to qualify for your services?
Absolutely. We are required to screen everyone for financial eligibility for our course projects, and we're set at 125% of poverty. Let me give you an example of what that is. For a family of four, annual income of about $27,500, that's gross income per year, is what would be required to be automatically eligible for free legal services from the Legal Aid Society. What does that look like on a weekly gross income basis for a family of four? That's $530 per week. So you know our clients truly are low income. Now, we are able to screen eligibility for clients who have income up to 200% of poverty, still not a great deal of money for a family of four. That's annual income gross of $44,000 a year. And so anyone in between the 125 and 200% would be screened for eligibility, and eligibility would be determined based on the other obligations they have, the other debts they're paying each month.
So there is some leeway in the eligibility program?
There is some leeway, but believe me, the screening is rigorous. I once had a lawyer waiting outside our waiting area, and he was listening to our receptionist, who's terrific, screen a client for eligibility, and he came up to see me, and he said, what is she doing, taking a mortgage application?
So. Yeah, they should have been that careful with mortgages. do you offer any foreign language speaking counsel? Do you have anyone who would speak Spanish or any other language that someone may need to communicate in? Or do you have any place you can refer them to if they're non-English speaking?
Yes, we do. We have bilingual in English and Spanish, two staff members who are bilingual in both English and Spanish and who can serve as on-staff interpreters. We also have access to language line services, which gives us almost immediate telephonic access to, I'd say, it's about 130 different languages. Each of our legal aid offices has a poster in the waiting room so that a client whose primary language is other than English can come in and point to the language that they need an interpreter in. And then the receptionist sets that up with a conference call. We have a huge commitment to serving clients in their primary language.
Interesting, because that, I think, then should lead me right into asking you about the Upstate New York Immigration Law Project. That's one of the programs that the Legal Aid Society runs. And as I understand it, you can help documented and undocumented immigrants.
Well, with our Legal Services Corporation funds, we agree to abide by a restriction that says that we can only provide legal assistance to documented immigrants. But we do have a powerful partnership with the Legal Aid Society of Rochester. And through that partnership, because they are not funded by the Legal Services Corporation, they can provide direct legal assistance to undocumented immigrants. And what we do is just simply do the intake and pass the matter on to our colleagues in Rochester. So it's a wonderful statewide Upstate New York project.
So you again, have the ability to refer them out to some other sources.
Yes, someone who can help them.
One of the items listed in your services that you provide in the Immigration Law Project is representation on asylum. Can you briefly explain what is asylum and what do you offer?
Well, asylum is, in the immigration context, is very much like its basic civil meaning, safety, refuge for someone who is at risk in their home country. So perhaps someone who might be persecuted because of their political beliefs or their religious practices can seek asylum here in the United States. Now, this is one of the matters that our Legal Aid Society would not be able to handle under the Legal Services Corporation restrictions, but we would be able to do the intake and refer the client to the Legal Aid Society of Rochester, which might be able to handle and provide representation.
And we were talking earlier about representation that you could offer for immigration status extensions. I was giving you the example of someone who is in this country on a visa. The visa is about to expire. They want to apply for an extension. You have staff that would help them make that application?
The visa, again, the visa issue, it does depend on what type of visa. One of the areas that we're most active in is trying to obtain special visas for battered immigrants and also seeking adjustment statuses for a change in status for battered immigrants. So anyone who may not have legal status right now but is, for example, married to a U.S. citizen and can now make an application for permanent residence.
If they're a victim of domestic violence?
Yes, or any kind of abuse.
And in these particular programs, as we discussed, the representation, whether you can do it or the Rochester office can do it, would be a free legal service, but the fees and costs attendant to these applications, which can be quite significant, those are not subsidized or paid for by the organization, correct?
Correct. The client has to be able to save up or borrow the money that's required by the Immigration and Naturalization Service to obtain relief.
Okay. The next program you have that you mentioned was a program for people with HIV or living with AIDS. Can you tell me what some of the services are that you provide to these people?
You know, what I love the best about this program, the HIV/AIDS Legal Consortium, is that we really make it easy for someone who's living with or affected by HIV/AIDS and has a legal problem to access legal services. It's a great collaboration with the Albany Law School Health Law Project and the Legal Project, two other legal services providers here in Albany.
You're referring to the Legal Project that Lisa Frisch, Lisa was on our program too.
I know. So it's a wonderful project where we, Legal Aid, serves as the single point of entry, so it's easy to access the services. We take a look at the case. We would refer some cases to the Albany Law School Health Law Project, and we would also refer some cases to Lisa Frisch's project, the Legal Project, which provides pro bono representation to some of our clients. Our whole idea is to be a general practice with an expertise in the issues that people living with HIV or AIDS face, so that the lawyer is particularly knowledgeable. The other wonderful feature of this program is the strong working relationships with the medical and social services providers who work with people living with HIV/AIDS.
Explain how you dovetail with them.
Well, we have a great referral system. They're referring their clients to us all the time. We also refer clients to local providers that provide health care or case management. It's very holistic, and often the providers working with our clients are also funded by the same funder as us, the AIDS Institute of the New York State Department of Health.
So it's making sure the right hand knows what the left hand's doing?
Yes, exactly.
And in the few moments we have left before the break, what do you think is the top area of representation people suffering with AIDS need?
Well, I honestly think that we are seeing the full range of legal services problems, just like any other lower-income person suffering from housing, public benefits. Now people are living longer.
Well, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY. Now for the news and weather.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Well, some Republican governors say they don't want all the economic stimulus money for their states. Others say they need the help.
I really view it as an issue of what can I do that's best for the people of Florida. We've got almost 20 million people that live in the Sunshine State now. I think my obligation is, in essence, the CEO of the state to do everything I can to help us get through this tough economy.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist on NBC's Meet the Press. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour is among the Republicans who say they'll refuse some of that money. Hollywood's big night, the 81st Annual Academy Awards. Fox News Radio's Sabrina Sabah on the red carpet.
The entire cast of Slumdog Millionaire, which is nominated for Best Picture. The young boys in little tuxedos and the girls in colorful dresses.
After six tries, Kate Winslet is hoping for her first Oscar win. And Madea goes to jail, topping the weekend box office. Fox News, we report, you decide.
810 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
We are watching low pressure redevelop off the New England coast. A lot of the snowfall with that low is going to stay north and east of us, but still some areas of snow showers as we head through the night. It is going to be very gusty with the winds and temperatures dropping off into the low 20s, around 22 by daybreak. Snow flurries on Monday, but a windy cold day, 26. We stay in the 20s on Tuesday. Warmer weather Wednesday. I'm Michael Palmer with the A10 WGY Storm Team Forecast.
Pets aren't just animals. They're companions and often members of the family. Unfortunately, pets are not always treated with the care they deserve. Animal cruelty and neglect are sadly a reality. Detecting and reporting abuse are the most important steps in bringing animal cruelty to an end. The Schenectady County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, SPCA, is a nonprofit volunteer organization that investigates complaints of animal cruelty. Our volunteers donate their time and energy because they believe in our mission to protect animals. We are not funded. We rely exclusively on public donations. You can help with a tax-deductible donation by calling 518-755-9517 or visit our website, SchenectadySPCA.org. Or, if you'd like to join the Schenectady SPCA as a volunteer, again the number 518-755-9517 or on the web, SchenectadySPCA.org.
Are you contemplating a separation or divorce? Are you contesting the custody of your children? You have the right to receive effective legal advice that restores your peace of mind. The experienced attorneys at Tully Rinke can guide, counsel, and help you understand your choices. Call Tully Rinke, 518-218-7100, or visit TullyLegal.com. Tully Rinke PLLC, 441 New Carner Road, Albany, New York. And the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour, Sunday nights at 7 on WGY. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
Well, thanks for coming back to us. And if you're a first-time listener, you're listening to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, in for our usual host, Matt Tully. Our show comes to you each Sunday in our new time slot at 7 p.m. when attorneys from the law firm of Tully Rinke give insight into the legal issues that matter most to you. And tonight we're talking about the Legal Aid Society and with the executive director, Lillian Moy. We're broadcasting around the planet on WGY.com. So if you have a question for either Lillian or myself tonight, just give us a call at 1-800-TALK-WGY. Now, Lillian, before the news, we were talking specifically about some of the areas of representation that you provide. And one of them is food stamps. You provide representation to people with issues involving food stamps. And you and I were chatting about some of the myths surrounding applications and eligibility for food stamps. What are some of the myths that you find you run into?
I think there are still many people out there who think, I own my own house. I can't qualify for food stamps. That's simply not true. It's some people out there who think it's really hard and cumbersome to use to get and use food stamps. And also that's really changed with use of the simple electronic benefits transfer card. It's just like getting a credit card or a gift card and being able to use it to purchase food at your local store. There may be folks out there who think that they can't qualify because they're not a United States citizen, and that's also not true because there are exceptions that allow immigrants to get food stamps or allow them to get food stamps for their children. People may be out there still thinking that it's wrong somehow to get a benefit like food stamps, but I just hope that many listeners will call in to our Albany office or to our Amsterdam office or to our Saratoga Springs office, where we have a skilled paralegal who's on staff and can help you figure out whether you can qualify for food stamps. And even if you qualify for only a small amount of food stamps, I know there are some people out there who might only qualify for $10 or $20 worth of food stamps. My hope is that you would follow through with the application process and remember that you can save those food stamps up for a big family celebration or for a holiday meal, and that there's nothing wrong with getting food stamps. It's one of the benefits our government ensures and guarantees to make sure that all of us can have a healthy food life.
And is the application process complex, or, I mean, does someone really need a paralegal or an attorney to help them fill the forms out?
You don't need a paralegal to fill out the form, but you will be glad that someone is out there helping you. It's very, even a little bit streamlined. It can be cumbersome to collect all of the documents that you have to bring with you. And if you work with someone through the Nutrition Outreach and Education Program, our special nutrition program, we make it a little bit easier. We help you with gathering the documents. We help you with getting copies made and then submitting it to the local Department of Social Services.
Now, this application also requires usually a face-to-face interview with someone from the Department of Social Services, doesn't it?
It does. But if you're a senior citizen or if you're disabled or if going to the Department of Social Services would be a hardship for you, our Nutrition Outreach Paralegal can help seek a waiver of that face-to-face hearing so that the decision in your case could be made simply based on the very comprehensive paperwork that you would be submitting.
Now, if someone's turned down for these benefits, is there an appeal process, and do any of your attorneys or staff get involved in representing someone in that process?
There is an appeal process. With the funding that we get from the Nutrition Consortium, however, we don't do these appeal hearings. We do have some lawyers in our office that might be available to assist you in pursuing the hearing. And we can also, even if we can't provide direct representation, we can also give you a lot of advice about going through the appeals process. So it's worth a call.
All right. And are there any other eligibility, what's referred to as entitlement programs like food stamps? Are there any other entitlement programs or forms of public assistance that legal aid can help people apply for?
Yes, we help people who have been turned down for some kind of public assistance benefit, again, also through the local Department of Social Services.
But specifically what? Are we talking like Section 8 housing, rent supplements, what?
I wish that Section 8 was guaranteed. Mm. It's not. That's very much based on availability, and that is a form, a public subsidy of your rent that's based on your income so that hopefully the amount of rent you pay is limited to about 30% of your income. The idea is trying to make housing affordable for even the lowest income person. Unfortunately, the availability of Section 8 vouchers and public housing is very limited, and there are very, very long waiting lists in our communities to qualify for that. In terms of entitlement, I think of the cash benefits that you can get from the Department of Social Services. Often we help clients who are seeking emergency assistance because they are facing an eviction, and that's a lot of the public assistance work that we do.
Mm-hmm. And does that also involve direct representation in landlord-tenant court for someone who perhaps is being evicted or sued for unpaid rent?
Yes. In here in Albany County, we have a wonderful program called the Homelessness Intervention Program. It's funded by the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance through Albany County Department of Social Services. And it's a great collaboration between the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York, Homeless and Travelers Aid Society, Interfaith Partnership for the Homeless, and United Tenants. And what we are able to do together is help people prevent evictions, keep them in homes, and also help people who are already homeless obtain the services that they need to try and obtain and maintain permanent housing.
So there's quite a breadth of what you're doing and also the organizations you're working with.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about this one is that part of it is legal. The lawyer goes in and it prevents the eviction. And then our colleagues who are social workers and even two paralegals in my own office who serve as case managers and advocates for clients who are now trying to maintain the housing that we saved for them or that we helped them to locate.
It's almost like the AIDS program you were talking
yes.
about. You use the term the holistic approach, not just solving one piece of the puzzle, but helping pull all the pieces together.
I think that's something that we're really committed to at the Legal Aid Society. The first thing you learn as a lawyer is that as good as you are, all you can solve is a legal problem. And low-income people face many legal and social problems. And really, legal services lawyers need to work closely with social services providers. I know that our colleagues at the Legal Project believe in this as well, especially in services to victims of domestic violence.
Well, the next program I came across was your Senior Legal Services Program. First of all, what's a senior? Because as I get older, I hope that senior, the definition gets older. What's a senior and what does this program do?
Well, the definition is 60 years and older.
Okay.
we're all going to get there sooner or later. And we're funded by the Albany County Office for Aging and the State Office for Aging. These are funds that the federal government actually makes available to every community. And the feds say, we want to make sure that there's legal services available to all seniors, regardless of their income. They say, we want to make sure that those seniors, that you reach the people who are homebound, the people who are frail, the people who are vets, the people who are most vulnerable in our community. And here in Albany County, the way we do that is we do intake at a number of different sites throughout the county where seniors can access our services. We also go and do home visits for people who are homebound and are not able to get out. So again, we're general practitioners for people who are seniors. But there is a broad variety of issues that seniors face.
Well, I was looking at your list of some of the issues that are unique to seniors that you've identified. I found interesting home repair fraud. Explain that.
That's what happens to many seniors. They own their own home. They may be living quietly in their own neighborhood. Someone may knock on their door and say, you know, I'm fixing the roof just down the block. I see that you may need a repair, or they may come by and say, I'm paving a driveway just around the corner. I have some extra blacktop. Why don't we make a quick deal? And they sign a simple contract, have the senior sign over a check to pay for the work, and then disappear. Or if they come back, they do a very poor job. And we find many elders are subject to these kinds of home repair problems.
And when we're talking about abuse, that's one of the topics here, but abuse, you're not just talking about physical. Explain what kind of abuse you address.
Of course, with elders, physical abuse can be part of it, but they're also very subject to financial exploitation, perhaps by a relative who has been serving as their caretaker, who has a power of attorney to handle their financial matters. And these are difficult cases to prove, difficult cases to be prosecuted as a crime. I know that our colleagues at Equinox Incorporated here in Albany have a new elder abuse program, and we refer clients to them. So it's very important that if you see someone who you think is overreaching in their life, that you refer them maybe to us at the Legal Aid Society, but also to Equinox.
Also on your list, you have grandparents' rights. Now, this is people 60 and older, and grandparents come a lot younger than 60 these days, but what do you provide under grandparents' rights?
Well, we would sit down and talk with the grandparents. Sometimes this happens where the grandparent is seeking visitation rights of their own in a custody dispute, or it may be a situation where a grandparent is actually seeking custody of a child. We're able to provide a good deal of advice. It's because this project has an heavy emphasis on advice and brief service, it's relatively rare that we might actually litigate one of these cases, but we would be able to give advice and to refer a client to a private attorney as need be.
And nursing home, adult home issues, do you help them get into these homes, or do you help them with legal issues they run into once they're residents?
We're open to, it's more likely to be a legal issue that comes up once they're residents. Of course, in every county, there's also an ombudsman program that is available to provide advocacy to any resident of a nursing home. So sometimes it would be a referral to the ombuds and or coordination of efforts with the ombudsman in terms of trying to get relief for a nursing home complaint.
So if someone doesn't think they're getting proper nourishment, proper exercise, or medical attention, they could just call the Legal Aid Society, or should they call this ombudsman organization first?
You know, I'd recommend calling the Albany County Office for Aging, but also we're very open to taking those intakes through the Senior Legal Services Program as well, because we work very closely with the Albany County Office for Aging.
All right, well, it's time for a short break, so when we come back, we'll look at how the Legal Aid Society delivers their services to the public. Feel free to give us a call with any of your questions. To reach us, call 1-800-TALK-WGY or press *WGY on your cell. And if you don't have a chance to get in touch with us tonight, you can reach us at the Tully Rinke office all week at 518-218-7100.
Have you taken stock of your assets and long-term financial goals? Are there changes in your family or finances? The experienced attorneys at Tully Rinke PLLC can provide estate planning services, including wills, trusts, tax planning, powers of attorney, probate, and long-term care planning. Call Tully Rinke, 518-218-7100, or visit TullyLegal.com. Tully Rinke PLLC, 441 New Carner Road, Albany, New York. And the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour, Sunday nights at 7 on WGY.
You know this isn't the right job for you, but the problem is you don't know what the right job is. If you're looking for career advice, Careers in Transition LLC can help. Careers in Transition LLC is a career counseling firm that helps you figure out the right job for you. They're not an employment agency, and Dr. Tom Denham is not a headhunter, but they can help you write a better resume, prep for a job interview, and a lot more. Careers in Transition LLC, 11 Computer Drive West in Albany, 366-8451, and online, careersintransitionllc.com.
As a busy working professional, looking good's important to you. No one understands this better than Best Cleaners, the Capital Region's premier garment care provider and dry cleaner. Got a wrinkle in your schedule? Best Cleaners offers pickup and delivery of your dry cleaning right from your home or office, so you don't have to fit one more errand into your busy week. Call 458-BEST, and we'll take care of the rest. With three locations in Del Mar, Loudonville, and on the Latham Circle, Best Cleaners. Always look your best. Call 458-BEST. 458-BEST.
Usually, a mortgage company's sole focus is property, but first-rate funding is centered on people, not property. Whether you're buying a home or struggling with your current adjustable-rate mortgage, first-rate funding will give you the same amazing personal service. First-rate funding, New Carner Road, Albany, and Broadway, Saratoga Springs. Don't wait. Call today, 452-4700, and please go online, firstratefunding.net, and see how they can help you today. Registered mortgage broker, New York State Banking Department. Mortgage loans arranged with third-party providers.
We're back to the Tully Rinke Legal Power Hour. I'm Barbara King, and joining me tonight is the Executive Director of the Legal Aid Society, Lillian Moy. Find out more about our show at WGY.com or visit TullyLegal.com to see what else we can do for your legal needs. We've still got a little bit of time left to answer your questions. I know the Oscars are on tonight, but if you want to give us a call, just try 1-800-TALK-WGY. Lillian, just a few more of the programs that we haven't covered. One of them is the Domestic Violence Legal Assistance Project. What is that?
That is our program of free legal services for victims of domestic violence. We concentrate on the most rural areas in our service area, and we are available to provide representation in all of the civil cases a victim of domestic violence might need. So we're talking about getting an order of protection. We're talking about trying to assist someone get a custody and visitation order, maybe get child support, set up visitation that works, and finally, when they're ready to bring a final end to their relationship, handling a matrimonial for them.
Your brochure says, first of all, that you don't have to be poor to qualify, and you don't have to be a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident.
Yes.
So is this program encompass a little bit more than some of the others?
Absolutely. And those are exceptions that have been created by the federal government and because of our special funding from the U.S. Department of Justice. Those funds allow us to look at whether the client can afford to hire counsel. And that's how we make the decision, as well as looking at the facts of the case. And because, as I said earlier, there are so many restrictions on our representation for undocumented immigrants, this is one of the areas of exception, so that we're able to represent a battered immigrant, whether she is currently documented or not.
All right. And then there's the Private Attorney Involvement Program. And this is a program where you reach out to attorneys in the public, private attorneys such as, you know, me, people at Tully Rinke, and other private lawyers, and we become involved in cases. So explain to the listeners how private attorneys that you might otherwise pay quite high hourly rates for would donate their services and dovetail with your organization.
Absolutely. This is one of the ways that the Legal Aid Society works to leverage services for low-income people. Attorneys just like you, Barbara, because you're an excellent example of a stalwart pro bono volunteer, donate their time and talents to our clients. On our side, we screen the client. We can make sure that they're financially eligible, that we really are helping the neediest people in our community. And then we refer cases to you in the areas that the attorney has said they want to practice in. So a matrimonial expert such as yourself is the best fit for the divorce program. There are other lawyers out there who say, I'm a litigator, I can represent in an eviction case. And we are able to refer a large number of cases, and we provide support to the pro bono volunteers who help us. We provide professional liability insurance. We also reimburse for out-of-pocket costs. We have wonderful paralegals in our Albany office who can help with computer research if there's a legal issue that needs coverage. So it's a great partnership. Legal Aid Society does provide the screening and the oversight at the end. We keep in touch with you. We ask you for updates on the case. And when the case is completed, we're able to report to the community and to our funders that a certain number of pro bono attorneys in our community this year, I think it's going to be 350 or so, were able to provide free assistance to our clients. It's a great program.
And that is terrific. And one of the additional benefits, particularly of the people who qualify for this program going through a divorce, you and I were talking about the fact that beyond legal fees, just the filing fees start to finish in a divorce action, what you have to pay the courts is close to $400 these days. Now, if someone qualifies for this program, unlike an immigrant who has to pay for his $300 to extend his visa, they don't have to pay the almost $400 in court costs. That also gets covered through what? Some kind of funding, or is it waived by the county?
It's covered by the county. And it is a program where we do some pretty rigorous financial screening. If you say you're a low-income person working, we would ask to see your wage stubs so that we can be sure that before we send you out to ask a lawyer to donate their time to do your case pro bono and ask the county to pay the filing fees, we make sure you're financially eligible.
And then there are a few newer programs that you have developed recently or in the process of developing, and I want to touch on those in the time we have left. First is some foreclosure help for homeowners. You know Ann Erickson. She was on here a few weeks ago from the Empire Justice Center, and that was the whole topic of discussion was foreclosure. But again, they don't necessarily deliver direct legal services like you do. So what does Legal Aid Society do for people with problems on foreclosures?
Well, we invite low and moderate income homeowners out in the listening world who are facing foreclosure to call us for representation through a new grant from the New York State Division of Housing and Community Renewal, through funds from the Unified Court System and funds from the Banking Department. We've been able to start foreclosure prevention projects throughout the service area. Here in the Capital Region, we're again collaborating with the Legal Project and Empire Justice to provide free representation to low and moderate income homeowners. You know that foreclosures have just skyrocketed almost 2.5 times more in the first half of 2008 than in the year prior. Additionally, there's a lot of folks out there who were in subprime or high-cost loans who really need a lawyer to see if they can work themselves out of these tough situations. So I encourage homeowners out there to call us or to visit us on the web for the right office number to access us. It's, again, www.lasnny.org.
And in conjunction with that, we were talking about your recent expansion into doing some bankruptcy representation as well. What do you offer there?
Again, we're focusing mostly on Chapter 7s. It's a small in-house bankruptcy project operated out of our Saratoga Springs office. We continue to refer bankruptcies to many very dedicated pro bono volunteers in the community, many of them members of the Capital Region Bankruptcy Bar Association, Michael Connor, a number of different lawyers out there who've taken a lot of bankruptcies for our clients. And we focus on clients who are working and who are subject to garnishment. But we also try to help out if a pro bono lawyer says they'd like to help a client, some other clients would also get referred. But generally speaking, we give advice to people who are judgment-proof, whose income is exempt from garnishment, and try to refer those who have income that might be subject to garnishment.
Someone that actually needs protection under the bankruptcy law.
Exactly.
And we're heading into the tax season where everyone's going to have to get their filings in. Do you offer any services for, you know, help me file my taxes, TurboTax through Legal Aid or something like that?
Well, we are part of a community of legal services lawyers throughout the country. And the Legal Aid Society of Orange County has developed a special electronic filing form. It's located at www.icanefile.org. And here in New York, you can do your joint federal and state return if you're eligible, that is a lower income person, and you can set up your return for free through www.icanefile.org. And I just urge the lower wage workers out in the listening audience to make sure that you file on time, make sure you try and file for your earned income tax and child tax credit. Remember that a household who's earned less than $38,000 a year and has two or more kids can claim an earned income tax credit of around $4,800. So this is not money you should leave on the table. The other thing that we want to make sure low-income households know is not to be fooled into taking one of those refund anticipation loans. This is possibly one of the worst deals you can make.
You see them all over TV. File with us and we'll give you a check right away.
File with us and we'll charge you a lot of money to get you the money that that is already yours.
And you can go online and probably get yourself.
Again, icanefile.org. So I hope people will take note of that.
Very interesting. Thanks. Now, about the organization itself, the actual staff and attorneys, how many attorneys do you have on staff, and are they full-time?
We have 34 attorneys. We're bigger than ever. We have two part-time attorneys, and we have one vacancy right now in housing law, and that's a part of the count. So we are larger than ever, but still I have to say we're unable to meet the demand for services, and that's why continuing the quest for public and private funding for civil legal aid is so important to us.
Hire more attorneys and more staff.
Yes, so we can help more people.
And in your 28 years of doing this, what kind of attorneys do you find gravitate toward working for a legal services agency? I mean, obviously, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. Are there certain qualities or characteristics?
You know, I always say that I was attracted to work in legal services by the promise of long hours and low wages, and I have never been disappointed. I think that people work in legal services because they believe in equality and fairness, because they want to be a part of helping to make sure that every person can get justice no matter where they're from, what they look like, or what their income is. Idealists gravitate towards legal services work, and people who really want to help people.
Do you find that there's a high burnout rate or a high turnover with your staff attorneys?
There is some turnover. I can't deny that. It's very grueling work for low pay. I'm not kidding about the low pay and the long hours and the difficult clients. And, you know, your mom and dad don't always understand why you spent $100,000 to go to law school and now you're working for $40,000 and can't pay your loans. So,
Actually, in the few moments we have left, doesn't the New York State Bar offer some kind of tuition assistance to people that go into legal services?
Yes.
To help pay off their loans?
Yes, they do, and it's a very generous program. And actually, one of our attorneys has just qualified for one of those some of that tuition loan reimbursement. And in-house, we've just started a very modest loan repayment program as well. Again, more and more of this assistance is needed.
You want to attract good lawyers to the practice.
Absolutely.
Well,
more
that's
good
it.
Lawyers.
Excellent. That's it for us this Sunday. I'd like to give a special thanks to Lillian for joining me on the show tonight. And if you didn't have a chance to reach us this evening, we can be found all week at the Tully Rinke offices, 218-7100. Thanks again for listening. We'll be here on WGY each Sunday in our new 7 p.m. time slot. Next week, estate planning attorney Mike Tominey will be in studio to tell you about the importance of updating your estate plan.